Well, I'm here with Joe DeHaan today. If you attend classes at all, this is a familiar face. Joe is a regular attendee at classes meetings. You kind of said before we hit record, you're kind of the designated deacon delegate from Covenant CRC up in Appleton. We've had Ben on a couple times lately. Mark's been on a few times, Pastor Ben and Pastor Mark. And so now Joe, and this is way overdue because Joe and I were classmates in LDN, which I'll often plug on this. If your church isn't sending people to LDN, you should be. I don't know. Would you say the same, Joe? Maybe I shouldn't speak.
Oh, certainly. This. Yeah. I found it very valuable. Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't even think Oosberg is sending anybody right now, so I should take my own advice. but Dave Cosby, yeah, that's great. Anyways, Joe, since you're a first-time guest, just introduce yourself a little bit and your role at Covenant and how you serve, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, sounds good. So I've been attending Covenant for about a little over 10 years now, ever since moving to the Fox Valley after college. I'm currently serving my second term as a deacon. I served about 5 or 6 years ago. So that's how I really started getting connected at the classes level. I started attending a lot of classes meetings back then, and I've continued that trend now with my second term. So like you mentioned, I went through LDN. I think we overlapped 1 year. So I completed LDN in early 2020, right as the pandemic was getting going.
Perfect time.
And I got So thankfully I got my, I sustained my exam for license to exhort right before the pandemic hit. We had our spring classes meeting in 2020 where I sustained my exam. And then a few weeks later,
you remember where that was? Was that at Christ Community?
That was at one of the Waupun churches. Must have been First.
Maybe I missed that one. Anyways, interrupted you. So yeah. You sustained that examination. Continue on.
Sustained the examination, but then we got into the pandemic, so didn't really have a lot of opportunities to preach within classes. So within the last year or so, I've started to make myself available to churches, et cetera, and do a little bit of preaching.
Where have you been doing that preaching?
So mainly at Covenant. I've filled in a couple times there. But more recently, I was down at Bethel in Waupun, and then I recently accepted another invitation to preach there this summer. So Covenant at Bethel.
I also will be preaching at Bethel end of May. And Bethel, just an opportunity to give an update on behalf of them, I guess, not officially. But they're between pastors. Roger Sparks was there for a time, and we said farewell to Roger on the program here not too long ago, beginning of the year. And so they need pulpit supply in the meantime. So Joe is doing that for them, and I'll be doing that for them, and then encourage pastors and qualified people to do that, to support one another. What are you, what did you preach on, and what are you going to preach on?
So my first sermon there in February was on Habakkuk 1. And my second sermon will also be on Habakkuk, so the rest of chapter 1 and into the first couple of verses of chapter 2.
So you got your own kind of mini-series going on.
That's right.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yep, so I've been preaching the same series at Covenant as well. I boldly called it a series, even though it's spread out, you know, a few months at a time. But
hey, these days, with all the media and recordings available, you can totally do that because it's easy for people to refresh. Yeah.
Yep. So if you want to have back a binge, eventually I'll work through the book at hopefully both of the churches, and you can watch it all.
What are some of the things you found compelling studying Habakkuk?
So one of the things that I hadn't really thought about before in studying Habakkuk is just the perspective of the original audience and when they might have read it. And just with the timing of things, it seems likely that it would have been, you know, early in the Babylonian exile of Judah. So thinking of it from that perspective, from the perspective of the entire book, and then how that might resonate with an audience who's potentially sitting in exile in Babylon.
Hmm. How do you make that relate to Covenant CRC or Bethel CRC, people who aren't sitting in exile in Babylon?
Yeah, right. So the book opens up with Habakkuk complaining about God not hearing and God not seeing and idly looking at wrongdoing. And so I think that can be pretty easy for us to relate to right now. Yeah. It's not necessarily, you know, going to be one for one with what they were experiencing, you know, back in Judah back in the day. But I think plenty of us can find examples of where it feels like God's not listening, God's not seeing, and God's not hearing.
Is that the direction you went with chapter one, kind of relating to those feelings of God being distant?
Yep, exactly.
Nice.
Yep.
You mentioned also before we hit record about word partners, which you and I have talked about before.
Yep.
But having a seminar on Habakkuk, we say it different, but I don't know the right way to say it. So,
yeah.
Share about word partners a little bit and some of the insights that you gleaned on the book from them.
Sure. Yeah. So that was kind of the inspiration for this series on Habakkuk. I attended a seminar that they put on a little over a year ago down in Northern Illinois. It's a 2-day seminar, full day. So over the course of the day, you dive really deep into the book with a group of other preachers, mostly full-time pastors, although anybody who preaches the word is welcome. Word Partners itself is really focused on training up pastors who might not otherwise have access to formal training. So making sure that they're doing training in sound biblical preaching. So that's kind of their thing. And their main, ministry, for lack of a better word, is international around the world. So more recently, they've started to have seminars in the U.S. So one of them, again, is in Northern Illinois. But yeah, that was one of the things, like I was talking about earlier, is just the perspective of the audience, which is something I had known about before, but I hadn't really thought about it specifically in the context of Habakkuk, is who it was written to, who might have been reading it, and how they might have been absorbing it.
Mm. Yeah. You also, just in talking prior to this, mentioned Jonah and another mm-hmm. seminar on Word Partners. Share a little bit about some of those, is that a future seminar you want to, I don't remember.
No, yeah, I attended that okay. About a month and a half ago. Yep, so they have seminars every 6 months. They generally try to develop cohorts of people who attend together, build relationships, etc. So I missed the seminar about 7 months ago, which is on the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Mm. But the most recent one was in early March on Jonah. So that, again, was really helpful. I love the book of Jonah, but it's been, what I'd call a pretty superficial understanding of Jonah up until that seminar. So as I was reading in preparation for the seminar, I was having a hard time breaking past that superficial understanding of what the purpose of the book was. And again, the seminar really helped just discussing it with other pastors, seeing their perspectives and kind of opening it up in a new light, finding other references that are helpful for understanding the book.
What was superficial about the way you were thinking about it? Because this will probably resonate with most people.
Probably. Sure. So, you know, just as a quick summary for the book of Jonah, God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah tries to run in the other direction. There's the great fish that swallows him up. Jonah says his prayer in the great fish. He gets belched out, and then God calls him a second time to Nineveh. Seems like he begrudgingly goes mm-hmm. to Nineveh, which is the world's shortest message. And somewhat miraculously, the Ninevites repent, including the animals in sackcloth and ashes. So I had always understood it as, even, you know, our worst enemies are capable of being restored by God. And in the the case of the Assyrians, obviously it didn't stick because of what we know from the rest of Israelite history, but in Jonah, it shows them repenting, which is important, but I think there are deeper things, or what I've come to see from the seminars, that there's some deeper stuff with, you know, Jonah himself and his reluctance to obey God's command.
What are some of those deeper things? Unless you don't want to
give. No, so this is something I've talked to Mark about, and it's intriguing to me. I still haven't landed on it.
Sure.
I think he follows a more traditional view as far as Jonah 2 with the Jonah's prayer, as far as it being genuine. That's one of the things I hadn't known about Jonah before the seminar, is there's a lot of references, I think, to Psalm 3 within Jonah 2, if I'm not mistaken. And one of the facilitators of the Word Partners seminar noted the end of the psalm and how it compared to the end of Jonah's prayer. And salvation belongs to our God, which is where Jonah ends. But the psalm goes on to say something about for his people. And I wish I had pulled it up, but being very Israel-centric. And so one of the facilitators was arguing that that's an important part, and it's important that Jonah didn't say that he's implying it, and he's trying to tell God that salvation belongs to him, but it's specifically for his
Israel. People. Yeah, not for Nineveh.
For Israel. He doesn't need to go to Nineveh to try to save them.
Jonah actually is kind of an interesting book to contrast with Habakkuk then. Where maybe both of those prophets don't want Nineveh or Babylon to repent, but would rather see them judged. And justice is certainly a characteristic of God, but interesting to put those together and how Jonah handles that and how Habakkuk handles that very differently, but kind of maybe you could argue with kind of the same sentiment undergirding both. I hadn't thought of that before. Go ahead.
I was going to say another thing that caught my attention as I was studying Jonah, and it spun out of a conversation I had with Mark, is Jonah ends with a question from God to Jonah. And so in my conversation with Mark, Mark said he thought it might have been one of the only books of the Bible that ended with a question. So that sparked my curiosity. And so I looked, and there's one other book that ends with a question, and that's Nahum, which is interesting to me because of the contrast between Jonah and Nahum. So in Jonah, God is sending Jonah to Assyria to call them to repentance. In Nahum, Assyria is falling under God's judgment, and Nahum's essentially sticking their nose in it or something like that.
Yeah. Fascinating. Yeah. Word Partner sounds in some ways similar to LDN. In some ways, and I'm going to let you talk about it, but maybe more focused on preaching. That's wrong. But not asking you to pick one or the other, but just maybe compare and contrast the benefits of both for people in your situation mine a few years ago, who are kind of interested in serving the church through preaching and might benefit from both or either of those ministries.
Yeah, definitely. So I think both are very valuable. And for somebody who is going to be something like similar to my approach, where, you know, I'm interested in serving the church, but I don't have formal education as far as, you know, an undergraduate degree related to ministry or a master's of divinity, something like Word Partners is a great supplement after having completed LDN. So I found LDN.
Would you say that, maybe I just cut you off from about to say this, but LDN was a necessary or at least a helpful precursor?
100%. So yeah, I would highly recommend if anybody is interested in serving the church, just start out with LDN because it provides a great structure within the 3 years to go through biblical theology, church history, doctrine, and then pastoral care. Yeah. So that provides a great foundation. And you're right. So Word Partners is focused on expository preaching.
Sure.
So anybody who completes LDN who's interested in preaching, I think would benefit from going to Word Partners seminars and just continuing to hone that expository preaching skill while meeting with other preachers and discussing God's word.
Yeah. How would one get involved with Word Partners?
So I'm pretty interested in getting a group going in Wisconsin. Generally, they want 6 to 12 people who are committed to the seminars and who would turn into that cohort. So they offer sample seminars, essentially. So you can do it in like half a day or something like that. So I've been trying to generate interest within the Churches of Classis, Wisconsin to get a sample seminar going. And if there's enough interest based on that, trying to get a cohort. I actually have a family connection to Word Partners. My uncle is their director of church partnership.
Ah, cool.
He works with a lot of the US cohorts for Word Partners. So he's very open to, you know, providing a sample seminar up here, potentially coming to a classes meeting and doing a information or an education segment. And then, you know, if there's enough interest, again, we can, you know, start doing the seminars. And if there's enough attendance, you know, develops into a cohort. I think it's 4 years from start to finish. So meeting every 6 months, each meeting's 2 full days. So again, I'd be stoked if we could get one going up in Wisconsin with a good showing from Classis, Wisconsin.
Yeah. So you'd like people interested in preaching, mm-hmm. preferably with some work flexibility to have a couple of days. It's typically midweek, right? That they,
yeah.
Yeah. So, pastors and myself included, cause I don't know that I've given you any names, Joe, but we've talked about this before.
Yep.
Try and collect a handful of people from your church who might benefit from that opportunity. Does Word Partners have a denominational affiliation or a specific theological bent? Not that they need one, but.
No. So I don't, from reading through their background, I don't know if it came out of a denomination. If they do, they don't have a strong tie to a denomination. It is essentially a parachurch type ministry, I would say. So not necessarily a denominational tie, but it all does feel very reformed to me as far as the approach. But again, not being tied to a specific denomination. They're strictly about the word. Yeah. So.
Well, your uncle's there. Is his last name DeHaan? Is it the DeHaan?
Yeah.
So we should all feel very comfortable.
Right. Yeah.
Joe, I always end with how can we pray for you or Covenant CRC?
Yeah. So it feels like we've been back in the swing of things as far as coming out of the pandemic, getting back to normal. But at least at Covenant for me, you know, with serving again, it feels like we're still relearning our way as far as like some of the grooves we operate in, you know, post-pandemic. So relearning how to do, you know, fellowship events and whatnot. So there's been some, I would say, minor stumbling with that. So just as we get back into the groove, just that the Lord would bless us in our ministries as we're reigniting some stuff that kind of fell by the wayside over the course of the pandemic.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your time, Joe. Glad we could get around to this.